So I need a little bit of help to start this morning, and I've been in two minds as I've been looking around whether we do families, parents versus children, or if we do children versus deacons. Okay, so is there any families that would like to go head to head? We just need one family to volunteer. No families want to volunteer. You want to volunteer your mum, dad? Okay, right. Okay, so Anne and Brian and their family have been volunteered by their children, one of them. Come on up. Well done. Give them a round of applause, particularly the teenagers. Sorry, it's your younger brother. You can do what you like later to him. Okay. It's very easy. It really is easy. Okay, you need to come up here. There's a puzzle here, and there's a puzzle there. That one's a hard one, so we put the parents on that side, okay? And all you have to do is get the pieces together as quick as you can, okay? So whoever wins, wins, okay? Ready? On your mark, set, go. Come on, help your brother. You want to beat your parents, don't you? You can take away one of their pieces if you wish. Is that cheating? Sorry, am I encouraging cheating? Who is going to win? Oh, the blue tack doesn't want to stick very well. Who are you rooting for, children or parents? Parents. 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 Children, who are you rooting for? Children. Parents. Not me. Get a picture of that. There we go. How are we doing? Anne and Brian look like they're nearly there. Anne's having to hold it all on by hand. Oh, no. Come on, kids. Don't let your mum and dad win. Oh, yes. Very close. I think the parents just got in there. It's got to stay up. It's got to stay up. Step away when you've done. Yes, the children. Well done. Thank you all very much. And sorry to have embarrassed any of your family. Well done. In English these days, English literature and language, I don't know which one it is, you do lots of spelling and punctuation and grammar, I've discovered. We never done it when I was at school. Might be a reason why I speak like this still. But there we go. But Jemima does an awful lot of spag, as it's called. And one of the things that they do these days, they look at a passage and they ask who, what, where and when. Even Noddy does it on CBeebies. He asks who, he asks what, he asks where, and he asks when. And this morning, we're going to ask three of those questions. We're going to ask who, what, and why. Sorry, I got one from wrong. I told you I didn't do it when I was at school. Who, what, and why. So, this morning, the first question, who? At Christmas, who is it we expect? Most of the world expect Father Christmas to turn up. But as Christians, we know that that isn't what the main thrust is about. It's actually about the baby. That's who we're celebrating. That's who we're expecting. And going back to that first Christmas, there was an awful lot of things and people that happened and took place and turned up. Did anybody get any Christmas presents this year?
No.
A few of you did. What kind of things did you get? What did you get? A doll? Oh, how lovely. Well, anybody else? Anne, what did you get? You got a what?
A ladle.
A ladle. Very romantic. Well done, Brian. You're almost with Ian up there, aren't you? Jemima, what did you get? A remote control car and a pretend hamster. Thank goodness for that. Yes. Anybody else? Benjamin, did you get that teddy bear? Now that is one nice teddy bear. I like that. Is it a teddy bear or a sloth? Is it a teddy? A teddy bear. He is gorgeous. What about upstairs? Did anybody get any presents upstairs? Were you on the nice list up there? Yes. A megaphone. Oh, fantastic. Hopefully we all got a few gifts this Christmas. And on that first Christmas, there were gifts brought, weren't there? First of all, there was an awful lot of people turn up. First, the angels turned up. They turned up to Mary, they turned up to Joseph, and then they turned up to the shepherds. And then, in that stable, the shepherds rushed in and they worshipped Jesus. And then, a bit later, we have the wise men turning up. Now, we don't know if there were three of them. We have no reason to believe even that they were kings, even though we sing that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." We don't know their names, although there's plenty of tradition around those things. But what we do think is that most likely that they were from Persia, what is now known as Iran. They were clearly men who were well educated. They'd studied the scriptures, they'd studied all that they could. They understood a lot of things. They were learned. They were wise. They were the kind of Cambridge, Oxford graduates of their day. Very unusual for their day, which means almost certainly they were very wealthy men. But these men, we know that they came. These wise, wise people. Could do with some of those, couldn't we, going into 2020 and our Parliament this year. But they came, they were educated, they were intelligent. They understood what they were doing. They understood why they needed to do it. But before we answer the what and the why, we're going to sing our next carol. So let's stand again and sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Mary and Joseph, they knew that they were caring for God's son. They knew this baby was extremely precious and very, very special and very different. And so being given a gift of gold, I think they probably understood. They certainly would have understood the frankincense, the sense of priesthood, the sense of deity. But myrrh, I think that might have sent shivers down their spine. What does their young child have to do with death? What does this gift mean? Mary and Joseph must have had so many questions, mustn't they? So many questions that were unanswered. The wise men's gift was extremely costly. I wonder about ours this Christmas. Do we just rush in and try to fit God into our lives? Do we stop enough to recognise the one who we are worshipping? Or when we're in worship, are we more inclined to think about other things, about getting the turkey on or getting the dinner going or the shopping that we need to do? I hope that the fact that we're here suggests that for us, actually, we do know the importance of worship and who we are worshipping. And in a minute, we're going to look at what our response should be. So the wise men, we know now who they were. They were wise, they were educated, they were intelligent, they knew what they were doing. And we know what they did, that their offering was absolutely costly and absolutely significant in what they did and in what they gave. So after the next carol, we're going to ask the question why. But let's stand and sing "In the Bleak Midwinter." I have a bag of coins, okay, and I've underestimated, had no idea how many were going to be here this morning, so I bought about 200, and there's a lot more than 200 people here this morning. Wow. So I would ask perhaps that couples just take one between you. Everybody else, make sure every child has one, and everybody has at least one to take home, okay? But children, do you think you could come and hand them out? And maybe someone from upstairs could come and get some from me as well. So children downstairs, give out these ones, okay? It's like a treasure trove, isn't it? All right, and these ones. Sally, would you mind taking those upstairs for me? Okay. Right, remember they're to hand out, okay? Not to eat, hand out. Okay, so go, you can take some and come back for some more, okay? Go and start handing them out and make sure that everybody has one, okay, to take home. And couples, please share. A warning, I'd say hold them, but I'm going to say don't hold it, because Mum discovered the other day that they are incredibly meltable and it just melted straight through and went everywhere. So put it on the chair next to you or in front of you. That's it, Benjamin. Start handing them out to people, okay? I know it's a bit scary to people you don't know, and maybe parents might need to help if someone's a bit scared to help. I want you to just put it nearby so you can see it. Because the wise men, they followed the star, didn't they? They understood its meaning, that a king had been born. And more precisely, they knew that it meant that the king of the Jews had been born. And so they go to worship for the king. But remember, these men that we're talking about weren't Jewish at all. They were Gentiles. So why would Gentiles want to do such a costly thing and travel so far? At this point in history, Rome ruled the world, and they were in charge of everything. The Jews were under their rule, and yet the wise men still go to worship. We know that these men now were greatly educated. They were very likely that they've studied the scriptures. They understood its prophecies about the coming Messiah. And so when they saw the star, they understood that this star was the sign of the Messiah, the sign that the King of the Jews had been born. What strikes me is that not only did they understand and truly believe in the meaning of this star, but they got up. They packed up their camels, they prepared for a massively long journey ahead of them, and they pack up these hugely expensive, significant gifts. They totally, utterly, wholeheartedly stepped out in faith, basically to respond to this sign, to go and find for themselves the king, to go and worship him in person. They didn't send slaves to go and worship for them. They didn't give messengers to go. They did it themselves. They wanted to go. It seems that they had no shadow of a doubt that what they were doing was the right thing. It seems that they never thought about turning back or giving up. They saw that star and they followed that star. They didn't take any easy option. They went themselves, paying a huge price in so many ways. Why? Because they wanted to go and see the king for themselves. Or if there's spare ones, would you like to, have we got enough upstairs? Yep, everyone's got them upstairs. Would you like to hand those spare ones out to some people who are sharing, maybe? See if anybody, David, has got one that they're sharing. If there's anybody who desperately would like their own one, can you put your hands up and David can... Yeah, there's a few hands up. Oh, the children haven't got one. Now that, you really do need one. There you go. Thank you, David. Oh, well done. I wonder about us. These wise men, they stepped out, they took such a costly choice. Their faith did not waver. They knew what they were doing and who they were going to worship. What about us? Do we make such sacrifices to worship Jesus? Or do we offer that which costs us very, very little? That which fits in around the rest of our lives, around the clubs that the kids attend, around the weather being okay, around our holidays, around our busyness. Why the chocolate coins? I've got one. Thank you very much. I've got one here. Why the chocolate coins? Simply because they didn't have stars. I wanted to give everybody a star. But it's to remind us this morning of the cost and the demand for a response. Our worship needs to matter, doesn't it? It needs to be costly. And as we head into 2020, the who refers to us from the youngest to the oldest of us. Are we willing in 2020 to learn more than we did last year, this year? Are we willing to start studying God's word more, to get more involved in worship, to listen to sermons maybe online or to be writing notes so that we remember it for the week and take that challenge home with us? Are we willing to make time every day so we spend time alone with God and to teach our children to spend time with them? Are we going to make time to volunteer to make a difference in the church and in our community? Will you? Will I? What are you willing to give in 2020? Are you willing to give your whole self to God as he gave himself to us, or we're only willing to give him a part. It's costly. But why should you? Because it's in response to Christmas, isn't it? It's in response to God's gift to us. And at Easter, we remember that cost that Jesus took for us. God's gift to us was beyond costly. Are we willing to sacrifice our everything and give it back to God in 2020? Could 2020 be the most amazing year of our lives? Could it be a year when we truly lay down every part of our lives for God with all that we are? If we do that, it doesn't mean that our lives are necessarily going to be easy and perfect with no pain. You know, the wise men, it cost them. It was hard. It was difficult. And when we stand up for God, actually Satan takes notice, and sometimes our lives can become rockier and trickier. But to live for God, to give everything to God back, means that we absolutely know what it means to live life to the full. And it's the best place to be. I wonder what that means as a child. If you're a child here this morning, what could 2020 mean to you if you give everything to Jesus? Maybe there's some of you here, child or adult, who's never yet given your life to Jesus. I encourage you to do so. Maybe you could ask your parents or your carers to pray with you today. Or as an adult, stop and pray. Start the new year knowing that you are God's child. As a child or a teenager, as an adult, the same applies. Could we worship together as a family? Could we prioritize RBC worship and time alone with God? Can we prioritize living out our faith at work and in our communities and in our homes? I wonder what that would look like. Everybody's different. It will look different for everybody. But could you, as you take your coin home or eat it, I pray that it would remind us. If you eat it, I encourage you to eat it and pray and say, God, this year, I want my worship, my life to be given to you completely. I want it to be costly. I want to give you my everything. Here I am. Please take me.